You're now tuned into the Fully Booked Podcast with Mace, French, and Pox. Enjoy the listen. Where to go? Tell me where to go. Use my inner
So heart versus mind, Roger Fisher and William Ury, get into the yes. These are two people that wrote a book in regards to getting to the yes for negotiations for, I think initially it was to do with the FBI or NYPD. But yeah, this is the example that of the system that they talk about how to get a yes. Their system was easy to follow and seductive, with four basic tenets. The first one being, separate the person, the emotion, from the problem. Two, don't get wrapped up in the other side's position, what they're asking for, but instead focus on the interests and why they're asking for it, so that you can find what you really want. Oh, no. But instead of focus on the interest. And so, yeah, focus on the interest, why they're asking for it, so that you can find out what they really want. Kind of fucked that up still. Three, work cooperatively to generate win-win options. Four, establish mutually agreed upon standards for evaluating their possible solutions. It was a brilliant model. It was a brilliant, rational and profound synthesis of the most advanced game theory and legal thinking for the day. But for years after that book came out, everybody, including the FBI and NYPD, used it on a problem-solving approach to bargaining interactions. It just seemed so modern and smart. On the other angle, economists Amos Tversky and psychologist Daniel Kahneman, who we've come across, together the two launched in the field of behavior economics, and Kahneman won a Nobel Prize by showing that man is a very irrational beast. Feeling they discovered is a form of thinking. That's from page 11. Which angle do you currently adopt when negotiating, heart or mind?
I think as a person, I'm more of a, like, let me appeal to your better nature side. Let me appeal to your, to like the heart within you. Come, like, you wouldn't want this for your, do you know what I'm saying? I'm one of them. You wouldn't want this for your, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm more of a appeal to the heart, I think. The problem, not the problem, that's my natural nature to take on board. I think the problem is when you work in an, when you're in a workplace environment, that's not always the case. You have to be contractual and more
logical
with it. It can't always be, actually, because they don't owe you nothing. You're in a contract. Do you know what I'm saying? I think it's in family and friends, it's more of a, let me appeal to your better natured side.
Yeah.
If it's something more of a working environment, it doesn't matter. You can pull all the one. They'll just go to point to clause 3.2 of the contract. Do you know what I'm saying? So that's why it has to be more just straight to the logic and mind. So it depends on the situation and the environment I'm in.
Oh, fair enough.
I think with myself, I think based on what you said initially, I'm trying to think just naturally. I think I might speak to your heart, I guess, and to your emotions. But I think maybe to, not there's an argument to be won, but to get what I want, or for the lack of a better term, to win the argument, I think there needs to be a lot of, for me, logic. You know, I mean, I'm speaking to your heart, but I need to provide logic as to why I'm correct or why we should go my way, if that makes any sense. Yeah, so that's what I think. I'm trying to think of in a work environment. For the examples I'm thinking of, I think it's all logic, really, as to maybe health and safety. Yeah, if I'm just thinking health and safety, I'm sure there are other things as well. But yeah, logic is the one that would come to mind, if I'm very honest. Yeah. I'm sure there are other examples where obviously there's a different type of balance, but I'm thinking more logic.
Yeah, I would go more logic just naturally. I'd have like a, not to say a line or a list of facts, but just present it in a logical way and kind of not really adopt the how it feels. Because as Mace said, when it comes to like a work environment, all that feeling stuff, not to say it doesn't, it's not invalid, but it doesn't really matter when it's in black and white and you can point to it. So
yeah,
hence the logical approach. But yeah, similar to yourself, when dealing with family, friends, or maybe just depending on the nature of the conversation, because even in business, you can kind of pull on people's heartstrings to get what you want. So yeah, not to sit on the fence, but it does depend on the scenario.
Yeah.
So through decades of research with Tversky and Kahneman proved that humans all suffer from cognitive bias, that is unconscious and irrational brain processes that literally distort the way we see the world. Kahneman and Tversky discovered more than 150 of them, including the framing effect, prospect effect, and the most famous loss aversion. They talk about that in Thinking Fast and Slow. Talks about the loss aversion. And I remember it being basically, if you're more likely to feel more pain if you lost 100 pounds than feel happiness if you gained 100 pounds.
I believe that. Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely.
What about yourself? Would you feel more of a loss than...
Yeah, definitely, as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, so they go on to talk about Thinking Fast and Slow, Systems 1 and 2, which we've been over in previous episodes. I mean, seasons, should I say. But going on, under this model, if you know how to affect your counterpart's System 1 thinking, his inarticulate feelings, by how you frame and deliver your questions and statements, then you can guide his System 2 rationally and therefore modify his responses. And that's on page 13. The FBI gets emotional. It all starts with the universally applicable premise that people want to be understood and accepted. Listening is the cheapest yet most effective concession we can make to get there. By listening intensely, a negotiator demonstrates empathy and shows a sincere desire to better understand what the other side is experiencing. How are your listening skills normally, and how are they when in a high emotional state?
I'm
surprised you know what the question was that time.
No, I was listening. I was listening intently, actually. I think that should go some way towards answering the question first and foremost, all right?
Cool.
I think it's very difficult then, actually, and I think a lot of EQ definitely comes into play because you're having to be, I'm going to say, patient, you know, but at the same time, you don't really want to, you know, some people listen to respond rather than listen to understand. And I want to do, obviously I want to do both, you know what I mean? First and foremost, I want to understand you, but I definitely want to be able to respond to,
some R&B singer, but
yeah, but how you feel, you know what I mean? But of course,
you threw him off, man.
No, sorry, I didn't. Sorry, my friend said he's out of storage. So I just turned and looked. I was like, oh, what's going on here? Yeah, I'll leave that anyway. I guess. No, I throw myself off. I mean, no, balance is important, but I guess in those situations, I think it's really important to listen to understand, because I think being able to respond hopefully should come naturally, or hopefully you should have the answers.
What, in the response?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think if you're listening to understand, I think responded should, I don't say it should come naturally, but there should be some form of response, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you're more likely to... the both of you, sorry, get one more step further towards maybe a mutual understanding. Whereas if you're listening to just respond, then more likely you're going to find yourself more in like a heated discussion.
Yeah.
It may come across I'm talking about like relationships, but I think I mean like generalizing.
Well, yeah, I feel like the part where you said French, in an emotional setting, was it an emotional setting? Was that the term?
Heightened emotion.
And I straight away I thought about relationship, P. And if I'm in a high emotion, I'm not listening to understand. S.
No, you've been honest.
I'm listening to just to respond, which is not good, but it's the truth. Whereas if I'm just my normal self in terms of my emotional state, I'm listening to understand, and hopefully that should trigger a response. Do you know what I'm saying? Not hopefully should trigger, but if I'm listening to understand, then it's more than likely I'm going to have a question or bit, either a question back or a response to what you said, if I'm listening to understand. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
if I'm in a, as a, if I'm in a heightened emotional state, I'm probably just listening to respond. I'm not trying to really understand the message, because sometimes there's a message. Sometimes what it's what's in between the words that's not said. Do you get what I'm saying? There's a message in there. Mm. It might be someone might be angry about something with you, but actually there's a message in there that they can't quite get out, but they're just throwing anger at you. There's actually a message, but you need to decipher that, because
mm-hmm.
they haven't, at that given point, they can't actually tell you in plain English what the message is. They're just angry.
It's mad. So not even to provide a bit more context. So if we're talking about, let's just say, a work or even a relationship, I think when you're having those discussions, or let's say heated discussions, and I think if you've been with that person for a period of time, you're probably more likely to have follow-up conversations, you know what I'm saying? And then with those follow-up conversations, you're more likely to have a bit more understanding, where you're listening to actually gain a bit more insight rather than listening to respond straight away. I mean, that's what I think anyway.
Cool. Yeah. Concept. Tactical empathy. This is listening as a martial art, balancing in the subtle behaviours of emotional intelligence and the assertive skills of influence to gain access to the mind of another person. Contrary to popular opinion, listening is not passive. Is not a passive activity. It is the most active thing you can do. Life is a negotiation. Negotiation serves two distinct vital life functions: information of gathering and behavior influencing, and includes almost any interaction where each party wants something from the other side. Your career, your finances, your reputation, your life, even the fate of your kids. At some point, all of these things hinge on your ability to negotiate. That's on page 17. Who would you say you negotiate most with, and do you ever go into one knowing you'll lose?
I was actually going to say myself.
Good answer. I was going to say that still. Yeah. Pussy.
I was going to say myself, but I didn't. Not that I didn't know why.
Fuck you, man.
Say myself. Do I go into a negotiation knowing I'm going to lose? Yeah, I think I do, but I just don't know where. I was going to say at work. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel I'm going to lose that battle almost. I feel I'm going to lose that battle every day. Whereas once upon a time, I was quite comfortable knowing that I would I'd win that battle, whether it's to make enough money for the day or generally come out of the day like feeling happy. Whereas at this moment in time, I go into the day knowing that I'm not going to make enough money. And I also know I'll come out of the car feeling a bit depleted within myself. Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have a lot of, I don't want to say preconceived notions. Yeah, preconceived notions as to behaviours at the moment. So a lot of people at the moment don't come in and they don't say hello. That happened a number of times yesterday, and I only worked for like 3-4 hours. And as I mentioned before, like just on the road generally, it's quite slow. Oh, so it's a bank holiday weekend. So I think that, let's say naturally, people are going to be a bit more out and about. People are going to be a bit more social. So some of the interactions that you're going to have are going to be of people who are quite happy. So obviously the conversation which I mentioned earlier in regards to the girls, they're coming from a bar, so they're quite happy, you know. So we're having like jovial conversation. Oh, sorry, then we got into like karaoke and all that type of stuff and singing and laughing and all that type of stuff. So that was like one of my last journeys. So I come out of the car generally quite happy, and it was a long trip close-ish to home. I'll say northward, so close-ish to home, so it wasn't that far. So I felt comfortable knowing that it wasn't going to take me that long to get home. And I'd made a decent fare from it. You know, I mean, I only come out for a couple of hours, so I didn't plan on making a lot of money. Just wanted to cover something, but I more than did that. So I made enough money, and they gave me, they provided positive energy. Yeah. Provided positive energy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your answer, negotiate yourself. That didn't even cross my mind, but that's probably spot on. But what I would say is,
but I was going to follow up and say, because I was going to genuinely answer, but
yeah.
I was going to say, actually outside of yourself, because not to say it's an obvious one for everyone, but I would have thought that was kind of an obvious one.
Sorry, go on, Austin.
Probably my other half. And do I go into negotiation? Yeah. A lot. I know I'm going to lose. Mm. And because more often than not, I don't want that smoke. But what I would say is sometimes there's different severity of losses. And it's not even like, say, I'm negotiating, knowing I'm going to, I don't know how to put it. I'm not in there like the art of war, Zinju, like really tactically going in, right, take this loss, it's 10%. Get, I'm not thinking like that. It's not like I'm going into battle. I'm going into a conversation and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking four strides ahead. I'm not thinking like that when I'm having this conversation. But sometimes you know you're going to lose, but it's like, how bad, like almost like, well, how badly almost.
Damage,
how,
limitation.
Yeah, damage, that's the word. That's the term. Damage, limitation. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Random might be like, so I'm going to be out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Do you get what I'm saying? Mm. Knowing that's not on, but actually maybe I knew that already, but I wanted to be out 3 days in the evening. Do you get what I'm saying? And actually going in for the four, even though I would have, if it had been accepted, I'd be out the four evenings. Three is what I wanted. Whereas if I'd gone in with the three, it might have gone down to two. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so definitely. It's almost thinking like that sometimes.
Mm. Who would you say you, outside of yourself, who would you say you negotiate most?
No, I just found, sorry, what he said was really interesting as to knowing you're going into to lose. You know, I understood it, but I was like, wow.
I think you get that in a relationship, especially in relationships. You're gonna get that.
No, because I was going to ask, but I think I understand. Is it more context, as in like topic, or it could be it's a variety of things? Yeah, anything.
It's the same thing with building up credit. Like, so for instance, I think I mentioned this before, but there was 1 week where I knew football was off both days. Mm. Like, not because I didn't want to go, it's just cancelled. I didn't say that. I said, I'm not playing Monday or Wednesday, come spend time with the family.
Yeah.
Family, man.
Yeah, it's a bonus. I bought myself brownie, just some, you know what I mean, extra kudos. So, actually, I'm going to be out Saturday. And,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I would say the same. Sorry, the thing that comes to mind would be the same, although my situation is quite complicated. I think I'm going into everything, any single. Actually, do you know what? It depends on where I am.
But then you said your clients, I guess the people that get into the car.
Yeah.
Because that's outside of yourself.
Okay. Losing is not an option, I don't think, for me in the car. Or maybe it is. No. No. So I pulled back because I thought to myself, like, I cleaned the car this morning. I only was working for three-ish hours. Mm. Car was a bit of a state, you know. And actually, I generally clean the car after I look around, see if I need to fix anything up, and maybe after two or three rides, I'll get my brush and I'll clean the car up. But I still got out of the car or go in the car this morning thinking it needed to be cleaned. And so I cleaned it. And I think that they're the losses that I accrue. I think that's the word. Mm. But as to like negotiating with its health and safety as to my own well-being, then I'm sorry, there's no losses that can be. Yeah, I don't think I can afford to take a loss. If a rider, let me not say wins an argument, but I think you understand what I'm saying. If they win something, then I'm more likely to either get a ticket, the ride for just say it's another half an hour left is going to be uncomfortable, or do you know what I mean? Like, I think the loss,
I would have, for me, I would have probably said outside of myself would be my client base. You're always trying to negotiate a lower price or something like that, or a different price, whatever it may be. So, yeah, I would have said the same thing, and if not that, then maybe a select few family and friends, but. It's not, as I said, alluding to what I was saying earlier in regards to every interaction is some form of negotiation, but I just don't view every interaction as a negotiation on a day-to-day basis, do you know what I mean? Mm. Whereas when you've got clients, that's more of a negotiation on literally they'll try and haggle you down, whatever it may be. So, yeah. Anything else to add to that?
No.
Cool, because we're just going to move on to the next chapter. But to end that off, conflict between two parties is inevitable in all relationships. So it's useful, crucial, even to know how to engage in that conflict to get what you want without inflicting damage. That's on page 17. Chapter 2, be a mirror. In negotiation, each new psychological insight or additional piece of information revealed heralds a step towards and allows one to discard one hypothesis in favour of another. You should engage the process with a mindset of discovery. Your goal at the outset is to extract and observe as much information as possible, which, by the way, is the one reason that really smart people often have trouble being negotiators. They're so smart, they think they don't have anything to discover. It's on page 25. If you could listen back to all of your conversations or negotiations, would you? And what do you think you would learn?
I would like to, actually. That's a good question. I would love to. I think I want to learn or see, and hopefully see, how I've developed in my skills of negotiation, skills of conversation. That's what I'd like to discover. And I hope there would be some progress. Otherwise, I'm going backwards, boy. What am I doing here? But yeah, that's what I would hope to discover, that hopefully, like, I've learned from situations, not even like consciously, but subconsciously. I've learned from situations how to communicate better and not even say get what I want, but definitely have a more amicable approach to dealing with situations which might have not been the same previously.
Good point.
No, that's a great answer. What would I learn? Wow. The only thing I think I've learned over the past...
Would you, if you could?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. So good question. 100%. What do I think I would have learned? Sorry, just based on the last 24 hours and then obviously coming into the studio. People need basic negotiation skills just to like navigate their way through me. But then I was thinking to myself, is it because I'm quite comfortable in just being open, which is a massive caveat or variable to the conversation? I think if I was looking at with myself, there's a lot of strong negotiation with myself. I don't allow myself much wiggle room in order to achieve my outcomes. You know what I mean? So in that respect, I guess it's not personal development. I guess in that respect, I'm quite happy. I think I negotiate with myself quite well. But as to with people, I'm not too sure what the progress will look like, but I'd like to see that. I'd like to see that. But you know, I think I've learned a lot about people actually. So I think in that respect, I think I have a broader look or outlook on negotiation. I mean, how things go. And in fact, actually, I think just understanding people, which I guess we all do in our day-to-day life, I think gives us a better understanding. Whereas I'll say maybe 5 years ago or in 2017, when I got in the car, not that I didn't understand people, but I'm seeing a wide range of different people, whether it's ethnic groups, or just walk of life, you know, business, mothers, fathers, all that type of stuff. So you have different forms of interaction with space. I don't know. Yeah. And different negotiations, really.
Do you find that when you meet these different people, you learn more about yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I'm not too sure. I don't know if I can pinpoint it, but yeah, I think I definitely do. Yeah, I definitely do.
Well, in terms of they reflect, or you see things in them in that regards?
Both. So you're asking questions which I think are very good questions. I'm trying to think. I don't have the answer to them.
Cool.
So the reflection I see, I think, is really good. You said two things.
Is it a case of you see things in them that you see in yourself? So essentially, they're mirroring things that you see in yourself.
Yeah, so not I like that in some respects, but then I think there's things I see which I hate going down this road. I don't want to see sign of the times, but the environment is forcing me to change.
What do you mean?
So there might be behaviors maybe in the car, you know, which are now forcing me. I've got no choice, or my negotiations have to change, you know, and I don't want to go down that road, you know what I mean? Such as, let's say the Nostradamus thing, you know, I didn't want to go down that road, it's late at night, I'm actually thinking of bed.
But would you say that's an individual thing or a societal thing?
Him is individual. I don't think that's societal. But there are things that are societal, which generally concern me. Generally concern me. I can't think of anything. The one thing that's at the back of my mind, I've not let it go, is this 37% thing. We're talking about off air.
Yeah.
37% of people in London are from London.
Okay. Yeah,
I've not let go of that because it makes me think. because it makes me think. Like, if we think of London 20 years ago, I'm sure that would have been a higher percentage. And then it makes me think, okay, cool. There are people who are not from London, and let's say there will be 63%, I think it is, 63%, they will have children, and they'll be a hybrid of, you know, they'll be from London, but they'll be a hybrid of their parents in some respect. And then it'll become a bit more of a, I don't want to say toxic, but Do you see where I'm coming from? Yeah, so yeah, I'm thinking a bit too much, but yeah, I mean that's another conversation, I guess. But yeah, yeah,
cool. Yeah, similar to yourselves, I would definitely listen back to conversations or negotiations, and I think I would learn. Similar to yourself, Mace, that there's been growth in my development on how to, one, have to be a conversationalist and being able to listen, because that's probably the best skill that you need when it comes to negotiating, is to be able to listen, which it's taken time and I'm still learning, do you know what I mean? But when in a high emotional state, like you were saying earlier, it's very easy not to listen. Like, you just want to maybe win the argument or win the negotiation. So I would also see myself just through doing the podcast, just learning about myself in regards to, what was it? One of the ones, attachment styles and things of that nature. So that puts you in a position of knowing, okay, that's my trigger and this is how I react, and being able to realise and navigate it so it's not the continuous behaviour that you don't want to display.
So I was thinking, you said something, I'll say what I was going to say anyway, but it will follow up from what you said. I think my outcome for most negotiations is peace rather than advantage.
Okay. That's interesting.
So I might not have more to that, but if I'm thinking out loud, I think, and whereas in business,
so
go on.
So with that being said, if their side wins, and I don't want to put win or losing, but if they negotiate something that is in their best interest, but it is that keeps the peace, then you're going to be happy with that peace. But what if that peace, or their negotiation side, is a detriment to you to some degree? Would that still be peaceful? Does that make sense?
No, I know what you're saying. What I'm thinking is it might need to be a bit more specific, but the point, I understand the point. If it's going to bring detriment, then I think I'd have to reevaluate it, because you're just kicking the can down the road, aren't you?
Let's remove detriment. What if it's just, and this is not the way to phrase it, but they get a one up on you. It might not cause you any harm, but actually they're one step ahead, or they've got a one up in some, I can't think of a specific example, but they're one up on you because of this. Doesn't cause you any harm, but it just means they've got an advantage or something over you or something. And it's basically how it's been negotiated is perfect for them and it's okay for you.
I think I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the point you're making, as in you're being general, but I think it speaks to what I said. For as long as, I don't see, let's use the word peace. Peace, and it's okay, and there's no real detriment to me. They've got one up in negotiation. I don't really have a massive problem, for as long as there's not a massive detriment to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it might speak to my personality. More often than not, I'm happy to help people out. You know what I'm saying? I'm beginning to, again, I don't want to talk about society. I'm beginning to curb that, because I'm beginning to realize, actually, the more I give, the less I have for myself. Which speaks to the point you made, actually. I've got no problem with them having an advantage, for as long as I've not lost nothing or I've got peace. So someone asked me to do something, or people have been asking me to do something as of late, and I've said no, because I would have given them something, but I would have lost time, I would have lost money, so it makes no sense to me.